This is a Real Footy Podcast Trade Period Special. Hello and welcome to episode 6 of our daily Trade Period Podcast series. I'm Daniel Cherney and I'm joined today by Chief Football Writer Jake Nile. Welcome, Jake.
Thanks, Dan.
Jake, another day of a little bit of movement, but still not all that much happening in the trade world. We're really counting down to Wednesday where things will reach a mighty crescendo. But the big news today, I suppose, is Eddie Betts, in terms of headlines. That deal's done. Is it a good move for the Blues? And can you talk us through how it's gone down?
Well, look, the long and the short of it is that future fourth-round pick, that was actually agreed, I think, a couple of days ago. They just took their time with the money. The money, the financial part of the deal was really what was needed to be negotiated, Dan. So Carlton are paying the majority of Eddie Betts' contract for 2020, which is, I think, around about the 550 mark. But Adelaide are paying a sizable minority. So they're paying, I think, less than half, but not a massive amount less than half. So that's a good deal for Carlton, in my view. But bearing in mind, though, that Eddie Betts, with his service to the Crows and some of the things that have happened at the Crows were not in a position to refuse his request for a trade. And he's going to Carlton really half in an off-field role. I think he's going to be a mentor. And, of course, let's be honest here, it's got a big impact on supporters because a lot of them were very disillusioned. And I speak of our producer of our podcast as well, Clear Syracuse, among them, were very disillusioned when Eddie Betts left at the end of 2013. And there were some bad moves made by Carlton in terms of their trading back then.
Is there any risk that Eddie Betts isn't in Carlton's best team next year if they can nail Tom Papley and Jack Martin?
Well, I don't see Jack Martin as competing with Eddie Betts. I would say Tom Papley would be well in front of Eddie Betts based on what they can do. But that's probably why Dan Butler has veered towards St Kilda, is he would have recognised that you can't have Eddie Betts and Tom Papley and Dan Butler. You wouldn't be able to fit all those guys in. So clearly, I think Eddie's in their best side. He still has a knack for kicking goals, even when he doesn't play that well. He's just one of those players that can kick a goal. And I think they're still a relatively young team. Mm. And I wouldn't know that he would survive beyond 1 year. Like, you would expect him to be 1 year and maybe out, and then coaching and developing and et cetera.
Mentoring, et cetera. Ambassadorial role as much as anything.
Yeah.
Earlier today, there was the big news of Ben King's contract extension at the Gold Coast Suns, which was quite a landmark moment for the Suns in their rather unfortunate history to this point, Jake. An extension to the end of 2022. He was already signed standard draft deal until the end of next year. What does it mean for the Suns and what does it mean for St Kilda, who had already flagged an intent to try and lure him home at the end of next year?
Well, this is a really big moment. I mean, I know the Suns are not, you know, they haven't got the following of Collingwood or Essendon, but you look at this in the history of this football club, this is one of the bigger moments. This is, I would compare it, as someone at the Suns did to me, to Jeremy Cameron re-signing at the Giants many years ago. Now, it's not, he's only committed for a couple of years, so maybe we can't put it in that category, but it'll stabilise the club right now at a time when the AFL's come to their rescue with a very significant package of draft picks and of other measures to help the club get it basically to be able to compete. Also, with St Kilda, you know, were pretty much in the van if he was going to leave to get Ben King to join his brother Max. Now, however, I think Ben King is allowed to develop a completely separate persona from his twin brother. And he may indeed find that he is better suited to being a key forward than a key defender. I cannot see the King brothers necessarily working as a forward combination. If he was to go to St Kilda down the track, you would imagine that he would be looking at playing behind the ball. Now, if he becomes a 50-goal-a-year key forward, 50-goal-plus, he may find that his whole viability as a player is better at another club. And in fact, that would be the way I would be thinking. Now, St Kilda people will say that's not right. Well, Dan, you've got a bit of an allegiance to the Saints. What do you say to that suggestion?
It's a very interesting point that I'd never considered. But, I mean, in junior footy, the whole idea with the King Twins is they always put one at either end of the ground because you just couldn't have one both the same end. So
two 6 foot seven, 200 centimetre players in one forward line is unusual.
Even when they're in under 12s and that sort of thing, it was a joke. Well, do you, Ben, you just play in defence, Max, you play in foot. So I think that's a very good point. And look, I think it's better for the competition if Ben King stays on the Gold Coast.
Look, St Kilda is still a good chance to get him down the track.
Yeah, it's only a few years. James Aish. Now, Collingwood, we know, have a very tight salary cap. They've put him on the trade table. Effectively, they want to.
In fact, we know that because it gets said every day and about six times a day that they've got a very tight salary cap. I think that's one of the clickier sort of stories you can bring up. Collingwood have got a salary cap squeeze.
They wanted to squeeze him out. They're very comfortable squeezing him out. You reported this morning that Fremantle have come reasonably hard for him with Justin Longmuir. Obviously, they're the Dockers' new coach, having worked with him closely in the defence at the Pies. Do you expect James Aish to be a Docker next year?
On balance, I'd say he probably will be. It's not 100% done deal, but he may have other options. But the option is there. Put it this way, the option is there from Fremantle. Fremantle want him, the coach wants him, and they're prepared to give him a longer-term deal. And I think that puts him in a very good position to get there. He doesn't seem to be a player that worries much about going to Perth, or indeed he's from South Australia, so he was happy to go to Collingwood. He went to Brisbane, and he didn't go back to South Australia when he had the option of going back to South Australia. So I think his comfort with Justin Longmuir is the key point here, and he knows that he'll play. Whereas at Collingwood, you would look at Isaac Quaynor, and he could be on the fringes there of selection. He improved greatly as a player, but he's still in the 15 to 25 bracket, not in the top 12 in a team.
Obviously, it's such a famous South Australian footy name, Aish, and it was put to me by a South Australian footy person that he's not necessarily, he wouldn't necessarily want to go back to Adelaide with all the pressure that comes from being an Aish in South Australia. Now, the day's, we heard about Eddie Betts, but the day's big homecoming story is Zach Smith is returning to the Gold Coast Suns, which Peter Ryan wrote earlier today. This has sort of been around for a little while, but what do you make of Zach Smith's return to the Suns after a few years at Geelong?
Well, it's a good move by Zach. You know, he wasn't getting a game, and Geelong seemed to have a different ruckman every week, and he wasn't getting a go. So good on you, Zach, and all the best at the Suns, and hopefully he'll get more regular senior footy.
Yeah, so he'll be seeing a bit of NEFL action with Jared Witt in the main spot. But then again, you've got a bit, these ruckmen, they just survive and they survive. And
yeah, well, Pete wrote a good column about the sort of the ruck stocks and the sort of worth of ruckmen and what to do with ruckmen. It's a question that every club grapples with.
They're like wicket keepers, these sort of set positions, or goalkeepers in soccer. Now to the listener questions, the favourite part of the show. This is from Jason. Why doesn't Essendon go after Bruce, which I believe is referring to Josh Bruce, not Bruce McAvaney or another Bruce, even if Danaher stays? Perfect fit has to be better than Brown and McKernan. That's Mitch Brown and Sean McKernan. Jake, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, it's too late. If he's leaving, he's going to the Western Bulldogs. So, yes, nice thought, but too late, she cried.
From Grant, who sent this before the news of Ben King's re-signing, why don't the Suns, and this has sort of been around a bit, I don't mind this theory, why don't the Suns get on the front foot and talk about Max joining his brother at the Suns?
I think they're happy just to have one King, and they should move with that. And they live pretty close to the ground, the King family, and I think they've got some other family link into St.
Moorabbin, that is.
Yeah, Moorabbin. Yeah.
The Saints fans growing up.
Saints fans. I think their grandfather was a board member. There's all sorts of links. No, I don't think that's likely.
From Donald, what the hell is North doing in this trade period? I know they're after Dougal Howard, but he's opted for St Kilda, which emerged late last week. Why do they have such a problem with getting players? It seems no one wants to join this club. Someone in this club needs to pull their finger out or they'll be left behind again, which is more a comment than a question. But Jake, North.
North Melbourne, I think it's clear, need to accumulate as much young talent as possible, become a sexy list, as Melbourne did briefly, and then get players to come to them.
We've seen Taron Thomas and Bailey Scott and some
of
these kids
coming through. Get these young kids in, and then you'll be attractive, and then players will come.
Larky, Zerha.
Don't go after the second string players. Get the good young talent and ride the wave of the young talent North. That's what they have to do. They are a rebuilding club, not a renovating club. Hawthorn can renovate, North can't.
We saw that with Dom Tyson and Aaron Hall and a few of those second.
That's right,
and
third, it didn't work. So be careful what you wish for.
From Luke, if Essendon can't lure Cameron to Victoria in 2020, I believe that's Jeremy Cameron, who else could they look to fill the void left by Danaher? Brown, this is similar to the earlier question, Brown, James Stewart and McKernan is not a forward line that'll win finals.
That is a very good question and one that I think would take more than a couple of minutes to ponder. I don't think necessarily they have to fill the void with a key forward. It's very difficult to get key forwards. So they may have to fill the void by having a ballistic midfield, you know, or a ballistic defence or a brilliant defence, and do some makeshifting. They might have to play Cale Hooker in the forward line until a young player that they draft comes along. It's very, very difficult to get key forwards, the record shows. Ben King being a player that I'm sure would have been of interest to Essendon had he not re-signed, just for example, along with about eight other clubs in Melbourne. So very difficult to replace him. Maybe they should think more about improving their whole list rather than just that bit.
Very, very interesting times for Essendon. From Rob, why would Carlton choose Eddie Betts, who has 1 or 2 years left, over Dan Butler, 6 years or more, is the suggestion, if they're serious about list building over sentimentality?
Well, they're getting Papley, I suppose, and they're getting Betts cheaply. And they're getting Betts for more than just, as we discussed, there's cultural reasons.
Is it fair to suggest Carlton had no choice but to get Eddie Betts from the fans?
There's always a choice.
This is true, Jake, but the fans would have almost rioted had they not got Eddie Betts, given the chance to get him.
I think it's a trade of most clubs would do what Carlton have done. There's one club that wouldn't.
Hawthorn. No sentimental.
They don't seem to be very sentimental.
No, not at all. No heart at all.
No. Very, 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 very rational.
Very rational. That's one way of putting it, Jake. From Shane, I am a Bulldog supporter and would like to know, are the trades likely to happen for Josh Bruce and Alex Keith? Surely, given our young list, they will opt to trade 12 down, I think that's now 13, for, say, two picks in the 20s to get this done. This then leaves us with sufficient picks for next year for Jamara Ugle-Hagan, who is a very, very exciting next-generation academy prospect, the forward at the Oakley Chargers.
Well, I think they'll get done. I think the harder trade there seems to be Josh Bruce, because the Bulldogs want... they've offered a pick in the 30s.
32.
I think it's 30. Is it now 33? I can't remember. 32 or 33, and St Kilda want a pick in the early 20s.
And which the Dogs just, don't have.
Which the Dogs don't have. They can do future seconds and things like that. But I think they'll get done. I still think it'll get done.
And the Dogs are interesting in the sense that with Keith, we know that the situation with his foot and that operation, which just sort of put a bit of a strain between
them and the Crows.
The Crows and the Dogs. From Brad, any chance the D's trade Billy Stretch, who's a South Australian, to Adelaide for Josh Jenkins, which is a curious trade, but not the worst idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, I not heard that one. But you know, good on you, Brad, for coming up with a creative one, but I've not heard it.
No. Yeah, you never know. Jenkins is a really interesting one coming into the last couple of days of the trade period because at this stage there seems to be no clear buyer unless you've heard otherwise, Jake.
Oh, I think that was one that was always going to be a late breaker if it was going to happen, and it's still a good chance.
From Glenn, isn't Zach Jones uncontracted? Yes, he is. He can walk to the preseason draft and Saints can take him with pick 5, declares he won't play for anybody else. Is that reasonable, Jake?
Yeah, that's not generally how people like to do business. And at pick 5, you've got to get past a lot of people.
Yes, and it's worth noting that if you're in the preseason draft, you can put a price tag on your head.
You can.
But you can't declare, which you can't just walk to a club. You actually have to, if another club's...
you put a price on, and if someone else picks you, and this has happened, you're going to that club.
Nick
so
Stevens.
If Gold Coast Suns say, Zach Jones, we're prepared to pay the price, you're a Gold Coast Sun, Zach. So it's happened before. And it will happen maybe again.
Putting the fear of God into him. Thank you very much, Jake. That's all we have time for today. Our live blog will be back again from 9 a.m. on Tuesday, but don't forget to head to theage.com.au/AFL. In the meantime, for all the latest news and analysis, we'll be back again with another podcast special on Tuesday evening. And as always, thanks for listening.